The first scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, beginning with verse 34, we'll read through verse 13 of the following chapter. Then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah. Samuel never saw Saul again before he died, but he grieved over Saul. However, the Lord regretted making Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to grieve over Saul? I have rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have found my next king among his sons." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say, 'I've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will make clear to you what you should do. You will anoint for me the person I point out to you." Samuel did what the Lord instructed. When he came to Bethlehem, the city's elders came to meet him. They were shaking with fear. "Do you come in peace?" they asked. "Yes," Samuel answered. "I've come to make sacrifice to the Lord. Now make yourselves holy. Then come with me to the sacrifice." Samuel made Jesse and his sons holy and invited them to the sacrifice as well. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "That must be the Lord's anointed right in front." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Have no regard for his appearance or stature, because I haven't selected him. God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans see only what is visible to the eyes, but the Lord sees into the heart." Next, Jesse called Abinadab, who was presented to Samuel, but he said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." So Jesse presented Shemaiah, and Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen this one." Jesse presented seven of his sons to Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't picked any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Is that all of your boys?" "There is still the youngest one," Jesse answered, "but he's keeping the sheep." "Send for him," Samuel told Jesse, "because we can't proceed until he gets here." So Jesse sent and brought him in. He was reddish brown, had beautiful eyes, and he was good looking. The Lord said, "That's the one. Go anoint him." So Samuel took the horn of anointing oil and anointed him right there in front of his brothers. The Lord's Spirit came over David from that point on. Then Samuel left and went to Ramah. Reading from the Gospels, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 26. Then Jesus said, "This is what God's kingdom is like. It's as though someone scatters seed on the ground, then sleeps and wakes day after day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it's harvest time." And Jesus continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider the mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that birds in the sky are able to nest in its shade." With many such parables, he continued to give them the word as much as they were able to hear. He spoke to them only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when they were alone with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, the Apostle Paul called us to change our perspective. In his letter to the church at Corinth, he said, when it came to problems, he saw them as light and but for a moment. He said, rather than focusing on all of our attention on things we can see, we should look at things which are not seen, abiding and eternal. If we allow life to be defined by the problems which meet the eye, we are living lives based on what is a mere illusion. kingdom living calls for and offers a different perspective on our problems. Today, we will be called to also acquire a different perspective on possibility and potential. We tend to base our assessment of others and even of ourselves on apparent strength, be it physical, intellectual, or social. But Samuel learns that this is not God's perspective. How can we come to see others and ourselves as God does? Samuel might have learned it the hard way. The concluding verse of chapter 15 tells us, Samuel grieved over Saul. Indeed, it must have been a great grief to see the anointed king of God's people fail. That would have been grief enough. But Samuel also had the weight of his role in Saul ever becoming king. As chair of the search committee, Samuel had been delighted to present Saul as a candidate for king. Saul literally stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Yet the anointing oil that he poured out upon Saul had not worked the way anyone had hoped. When sent out to anoint another king, Samuel used the same anointing oil and the same criteria. Surely Eliab is the Lord's anointed. Just look at him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature. The Lord does not see as mortals. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. There it is, a new and different perspective which is required in order to assess true potential of others and of ourselves. Samuel had failed to see it in time when he was selecting Saul as king, but this time God gave him a tutorial regarding the necessary shift in perspective. Picking a king, following the Spirit, it's not like choosing up kickball teams on the playground. This time Samuel was told to look with eyes of the Spirit. It was this preparation which opened Samuel's eyes to God's perspective when it came to potential. Having seen what Jesse or anyone else might have considered the full slate of nominees, Samuel asked Jesse if all of his sons had been seen. Have you any other sons? Jesse responds, Yeah, there is another son, but he's the youngest and is keeping the sheep. Having learned well his lesson, Samuel interrupts Jesse, saying, go get me that yeah, but kid. For now, at long last, he had learned an important lesson and kingdom principle. Whether we are anointing kings or just trying to see the potential of others and ourselves, we have to move beyond our yeah, but perspectives. We have to begin to see ourselves and others from God's perspective rather than looking at outward appearances. You see, faith calls us to not only have a different perspective on problems, it also calls us to expand our perspective on the potential and possibility that lies hidden in every person and situation. We find guidance in seeing life from the perspective of kingdom principles in the parables of Jesus in the gospel readings for this morning. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is mysterious. It is like a seed, filled with potential for life and with potential for bearing fruit. But we are to understand that this potential lies in the working of the Spirit within a realm of God. As such, it is a mystery. We cannot explain it by gathering additional clues or making additional assessments. It's not so much that the Spirit works in secret, but that we have our understanding blown away by the mystery that fills the kingdom of God. Amazement and awe only increase with additional experience within the kingdom realm. I mean, think of it. How much room for mystery does our perspective on life allow? From our perspective, that which we do not understand is to be avoided in fear or explained by our own mastery. It is interesting that Jesus says in Mark that the life of the seed is brought forth from the dirt, independent of human effort. We are to understand that, yes, the mystery and life come from the working of the Spirit. It is beyond control as well as beyond explanation. But we are also to understand what our role is in the kingdom enterprise. While the seeds of the Spirit mysteriously grow apart from our efforts, making the soil of our hearts and the soil of the world pliable and conductive for the growing of the seed, well, that is our calling. The kingdom principle seems to be reflected in Paul's perspective when he said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase." How closely does that reflect our perspective? We tend to take credit for ourselves, for whatever works, and either blame others or make excuses for God when nothing seems to grow. Jesus continues his warning about the kingdom of God with the parable of a mustard seed. This parable was spoken to people who were familiar with the plant. They knew experientially what Jesus was talking about when they heard what he had to say. The extent of my and probably your botanical knowledge of the mustard seed probably comes from the Bible. What the hearers got out of Jesus' parable that is lost on us is that the kingdom of God is like, well, an invasive weed. Think Japanese honeysuckle. Or as Eugene Peterson translates this verse in The Message, it's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go, yet once it is planted and it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches, and eagles can nest in it. The kingdom perspective being given here is that the realm of God can start small, but has the potential within it to become something much, much larger, spreading beyond control. The realm of God can and intends to take over all of our life, to spread far beyond the walls of a church, encroaching into the community and beyond. It is this very invasion of the realm of God that we are asking for, that we are praying for when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Furthermore, like an invasive weed, the kingdom of God is tenacious. It cannot be stopped. Pour concrete on it, if you will. There will be a way, a place for the Spirit to bring thriving life and the realm of God to find not only expression, but expansion. If not here, then there. If not you, then someone. Couldn't that give us a new perspective on life? One of hope when it seems it is difficult or even impossible to grow where we find ourselves planted. Like an invasive weed, the kingdom of God could take root anywhere and everywhere, high or low. You could find the seed of the Spirit beginning to take root in some surprising places, maybe even in your own backyard. We may need to change our perspective on what's a weed. We need to be careful about what we're trying to uproot because we see it as unsightly or unwanted. From another perspective, that weed may be the ever-encroaching kingdom of God. The good news of the gospel is that there is real hope for each and every one of us in all our smallness. The smallness in which we began or in which we may seem to always persist. There is hope not only of tenacious survival, but there is hope of thriving vitality and purpose. Not necessarily in our immediate success, but in the ultimate victory. Victory which is always shrouded in mystery. The good news of the gospel for us, yeah, but kids, is that each of us has the potential to become another mustard seed king. It's easy to be discouraged by the challenges and struggles of life. It's easy to miss the hidden potential our lives and the lives of others hold. It's easy to feel defeated by the smallness of the results of the working of our hands. to have faith that empowers us to prevail, we have to change our perspective. We have to look beyond all the things that seem so real, so captivating of our attention. We have to look deeper, see more fully, looking into that dimension which is eternal and where all creation is being renewed day by day. We have to see others, ourselves and the world, from God's perspective, because the Lord does not look as mortals see. We look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. Take a look at yourself. Take a look at those around you. Do you see a mustard seed king? God does. Amen.